You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Senator Michael Downey, Water Planning Section Supervisor with the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, joins us now. Good morning, Michael. How's it going?
Good morning, Tom. How are you? Hey, thanks for having me on your show today.
I appreciate you being here. Saw the winter storm. You know, we've been following, had a really, and talk about it any way you want, because we're going to get it. We've been in Montana for a long time here. We had a pretty dry, pretty mild winter, although it came on early on. Been following the moisture totals, how much moisture we're getting. I guess this spring is maybe about normal, but we had some pretty significant moisture here over the weekend, and that made an impact, didn't it?
Oh, it had a big impact. I mean, I think that, you know, as you said, you know, we watch it, and we watch it closely, and it seems like things are, well, are just every bit as topsy-turvy as ever, and I think maybe even more topsy-turvy. You know, we started last fall, you know, and they were talking about La Nina, and it was going to be a good old-fashioned cold, snowy Montana winter, and the Farmer's Almanac, everything looked good and lined up, and you know, then we got into October, and my gosh, it turned cold, and no Indian summer last summer, and got all kinds of cold weather and snow, and then you know, of course, as you know, we got into November, December, January, we're just warm and dry. It's sure been a ride. As we've gotten into spring, and then of course we got into February and the polar vortex, and it's like, okay, winter's finally arrived. And then we got into March, and it was warm and dry again.
Yeah.
And so it's been really tough for us to read. I'm the kind of the drought monitoring coordinator here in the state of Montana, and so we provide the input on a weekly basis to the U.S. Drought Monitor.
The things that impact drought, they're various, as you talked about. It is not just plain the amount of moisture, but when it comes, where it comes, how much it comes at one time, is it spread out, are temperatures cool? We talk about how all that has shaped into where we are today. And where are we today? We in severe drought, moderate drought? Montana's a big state, so I suppose we're in, you know, all of the above.
Well, that's exactly right, and not only that, I think what makes it so tricky is that sometimes it depends upon what side of the ridge you're on. As you well know, we can get I think that people tend to look out the window and they look at the weather and say, well, heck, that must be the weather all over. But as so many in Montana know, just over the ridge, well, they got a half an inch there, we got nothing. And so it makes it hard to really track it in an accurate way. Montana's diverse in terms of its geography. We really have a pretty limited monitoring network. You know, we've lost a lot of the National Weather Service stations have been, shut down over the last, decade or so. And then there again, it's so much of it is role of timing. You know, I think it's safe to say that probably for a lot of the dryland guys, that this was $1 million storm.
Oh, yeah.
Here over the last weekend. They got seed in the ground, and the rain came at the right time. I mean, I think the real challenge this year was our dry fall. You always got to look back at so much of this is with soil moisture, especially is driven by the conditions from the several months before even the growing season. And last fall was so dry, you know, we really didn't have any kind of a fall green up that we usually get, because we get some of those good storms in September that just never came. And so I think even though this storm really, really helped a ton and nearly fell statewide. The question is that what happens from here on out? Do we get our good June, which on the east side of the divide, is pretty, June is our wettest month of the year typically. And so certainly the trend is in our favor. I worry a little bit that we've got enough moisture in the ground with this last storm to bring things up, but not enough, deeper soil moisture to keep things going. And so that's going to depend on really on what we get in June here in early July. And it's going to depend on how hot it gets.
I want to talk about those factors, too. I want to talk about how you measure the impact of severe drought or moderate drought. But I want to give some numbers out there, too. Michael Downey is with us, a drought monitor specialist with the water planning section supervisor with the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. So I'm looking at drought.gov, and you guys actually do a good job of keeping the public informed. And I know it's vital here because so much depends on it, recreation, ag in particular. I'm looking at extreme drought, and we're looking at a line in northeastern the very far corner of northeastern Montana, but it stretches into Hill County. It stretches all the way down, to Broadus and Ekalaka and Baker. Talk about extreme drought. It says 15.7% of Montana, and that just doesn't happen in one season. That takes time, doesn't it?
Well, that's just part of it. I mean, and I think that's part of what makes the equation so difficult. You know, if you look back at 2017. You know, we had a heck of a snowpack, out west. You know, most of your basins were, 120% of normal. As you got farther east, they had a decent prairie snowpack, but then that came off a bit early. And then, we hit middle of April and it just shut off. Mm-hmm. And so what had lined up with, there was no drought across the state. By the middle of June, we were in deep drought because it got shut off and it got hot fast. So right now, if you look at that line that you just talked about, I'm actually looking at the same map, and you look at those northeastern counties, that was really driven by the, like I said earlier, those fall conditions. And then they had a super dry winter. Holy smokes. Glasgow was second setting records for dryness and for lack of precipitation. And so that's what really drove that, was that it was a warm, dry winter, and it was windy. I think the hard part about, when we measure snowpack, of course, a lot of that's high elevation, or even if it's prairie snowpack, but you get that, and of course that gets thrown into the mix. But this year with that warm, dry winter, most of that October moisture came as snow, and then over the course of the next couple of months, we just all saw it, basically what we call sublimation. That snow essentially, it evaporated. It went away. So it never even got in the ground.
That's it.
And so, go ahead.
No, yeah, go ahead. I mean, that's obviously a problem because we're trying to replenish the subsoil, the submoisture, or the subsoil, right?
Exactly. And so even though, and I think that's what makes it tricky. So then we'd look at these precipitation, maps for how much precipitation we've got in we've had across the state for whether it's the month or what we call the water year, which we start a new water year on October 1st of every year, or year to date, however you want to measure it. And it says, well, hey, you've had pretty good moisture, but if that moisture came as snow and then we had all those warm winds that took off all that snow, none of that actually made it into the ground. And so when it comes to kind of figuring out, well, when exactly we're in drought, we got to look at a whole lot of different metrics, from temperature to how much precipitation we've got to, okay, so what's our soil moisture as we're going into this? There's just a lot of pieces that go into it. And I guess that's part of what I enjoy about it, is that it's kind of this art and science. And yeah. I mean, I think if you ask any producer out there, they know what, they don't have to look at all these different metrics to know what's going on their place. And I think the difficulty that we have is that, well, we're trying to do that, sitting in an office, 500 miles away. And so we have to do that. And, it's not easy. And then not only that, of course, you look at that line on the map, and of course we've drawn a line in what's really a transition zone. And I think it can be frustrating for people because for the U.S. Drought Monitor and the Farm Services Administration, they tend to do their drought designations on a county based on counties and county lines. And you say, well, heck, they've got, we're in a, say they're in a bad drought over there in Valley County, and over here in Phillips that we've got things aren't nearly so bad. But of course, depends on where you are in the county.
I gotta take a break, and I'll come back, and I want to kind of ask you about how you anticipate what that impact might be with our current drought levels. A severe drought, 34%. Moderate drought, about 67%. This is statewide. So we'll talk about that in more detail. Michael Downey is with us, water planning section supervisor with the DNRC. And it's from Montana for Montana. Voices of Montana. I got to mention, remember we did a little report from Wallet Hub a little while ago. They measured the number of gamblers per population in the state, and they ranked those in Montana. In fact, I think of the top five who had gamblers per population, four of them were agricultural states. Like Montana. Yeah, Montana was in there. And why? Well, look what we do as farmers and ranchers. We gamble an awful lot on the weather. Michael Downey is with us here. He's a water planning section supervisor with the DNRC and catching us up to date here. Michael, as you talked about, you're analyzing figures, but Montana's a big state. There's a way that folks can help you guys monitor this a little more closely, right?
That's absolutely right, Tom. And in fact, it's a real important part of what goes into determining where drought is in Montana and what kind of impacts we're seeing. And we have the Montana Drought Impacts Reporter. And, you know, you can Google that, or you can just even put in your browser drought.mt.gov, and it'll take you right there. And that's essentially a portal where you can put in what are the conditions that you're seeing at your place that you've got on the ground, and what's your stock water situation look like, and what's your pasture situation look like. And we can even, it's even important for us to get information on, do things look good? And that's really what we really rely on, that information that we get from our producers and just our citizens, whether you're a recreationist or you're looking at your lawn. If you can tell us what conditions look like in your place, boy, it sure helps us.
The Montana Drought Impacts Reporter, search it for the Montana DNRC. Just a couple of minutes here. How do you anticipate the impact is going to be on where we're currently at? You know, we talk about recreation, we talk about the fire season. I know it's hard, it's not an exact science, a lot of art to it, as you say, but look into that crystal ball.
You know, right now, I think that this last set of storms, May was really good to Montana, especially compared to our neighbors, both to the east and the west. Essentially, we have another month, and if we can keep our if we can have a relatively normal June, I think that we're going to see drought, the drought impacts diminish as we go through the rest of the summer. If things shut off and it gets hot, it'll be difficult. I do think that our stream flows are probably right now for mostly projected to hold up pretty well. And so that'll be good that'll certainly be good for recreationists. There again, so much of it is going to depend upon how hot it gets. And, we've had some cool temperatures in April and May were below normal. If those cool temperatures continue, we're going to be in pretty good shape, and we probably won't see we won't have such smoky skies. I think what things are like in Idaho might determine more of that than what they are here. But if it gets hot and dry, then it could be a long summer. I know that's not an answer you want to take to the bank, but that's the best we can give you.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, we learned that we're a little bit better off, especially in May, than our neighbors east and west of us. I know there's an uphill climb for a lot of these counties as well. So we're hoping and praying and knocking on wood, whatever you need to do to hope for a mild June, as you said. That would be temperatures averaging what, like 70 degrees, 75 degrees?
Oh, yeah. Boy, if we could be, if we could stay in the 70s and maybe topping out the 80s, it'd be in good shape. It's when it's hitting that 90, up above 90, and it really goes downhill fast.
Well, I'm all for that. Save a good weekend or two. Hey, thank you, Michael. Bet. Appreciate that. We'll catch up with you down the road, okay?
You bet. Hey, thanks so much for having me on.